From the Land of Grand Hugh Diversity in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 10th day of June 2019. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. A bit later in the program, Mark Russo will join us from Risk Pulse in Chicago to take a look at the weather forecast. And along the way today, I'll update you on all of the agricultural news that took place from Friday till this morning. There's a lot of it, so stay with us right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn futures for the day finished at 415 and three quarters unchanged. September at 424, down a quarter. And December, three quarters lower at 434 and a half. Next year's July at 451 and a half, three and a quarter higher for the day. July soybeans up two and a quarter at $8.58 and a half. August at 865 and a quarter, up two and a quarter. And November beans at 885 and three quarters, two and three quarters higher. Next year's July at 9.28 and three quarters, up 4 cents. The bean oil futures at 27.38 unchanged. Bean meal $1.10 higher at 3.1340. July wheat futures for the day: soft red at 5.07 and a half, up 3 cents. The hard red July at 5.53, 4 cents higher on the afternoon. Live cattle contracts: June future at 109.70, up $2.77 and a half cents. Feeder cattle in the August at 139.82 and a half, up 2.57 and a half. And lean hogs, $79.27 and a half, up 62 and a half cents. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at the marketplace and tell us what happened in Chicago today and discuss, I suppose, what's happened over the weekend. It was a busy agricultural weekend, sort of one thing after another coming out of Washington, D.C. What was the impact in Chicago of all the news from the Mexican agreement, some news out of China, I suppose, from the CNBC Squawk Box today, all sorts of things happening?
Yeah, I'm amazed national headline news carries a lot of commodity information anymore. So I think it's a front and center news item with these commodity markets, as the not only the ag community is aware or interested, but the country as a nation and even worldwide for the most part. We saw mainly some selling just due to dust flying quite actively here over the last week. Ideas are that planting progress has taken a fairly large jump as a nation. There's ideas we could be on corn as high as 80 to 85% complete. The average guess is about 83%. So we'll see how that unfolds. That kept a lid on things as corn went in the ground. Not everybody's going to take prevent plant that maybe thought they were earlier, so this prevent plant acreage is still up in the air, and so it's going to take some time to get a handle on it, and that was kind of the defensive posture in the overnight and early morning trade. But the supportive underlying feature, I think, was the agreement with Mexico. They were one of our largest ag trading partners, and that was kind of resolved over the weekend. There was even words that there was agreements already made ahead of time, ahead of these tweets that were put out by President Trump. But the bottom line is, it appears Mexico and the U.S. are on decent terms right at the moment and through here. And I think that gave the market some underlying support. So a lot of newsy items. We're going to have some big ups and some big downs. And I think the bottom line, as a producer or as a trader, you guys got to have some staying power in this thing, because this thing's going to be real herky-jerky, and you got to have plenty of time. And the time window kind of goes shut here into next week as the July options expire. So you got to kind of have a plan if you still have some July options on here once we get past this afternoon's reports and tomorrow's reports and be able to withstand any type of big up or big down if it does occur. One thing to remember: weather markets, hot and dry, everybody's yard turns brown. They're like a bottle rocket. They'll take off and keep going. Wet weather rallies seem to grind, take a much longer time frame for the trade to get dialed in or decipher or comfortable pushing the market. But we got a lot of market in front of us, a lot of more news coming at us, and this afternoon's kind of step one. Bean planting progress expected to be about 56% complete as a nation. It's in a trading range of anywhere from 49% to 65%. Conditions-wise, right around 50%. There's some wide opinions. There's some good-looking corn out there, and there's some pretty poor corn out there. Good to excellent conditions for corn this afternoon. It's expected to fall between 35% to 68%. Average guess is about 54. Probably the number one area to watch on that weekly conditions report is the poor to very poor category. That's probably going to get the headlines after those numbers come out this afternoon, Todd.
And this will be the first conditions report for corn that the United States Department of Agriculture has put out for nationwide. There are some state condition reports that have been put out in the last week, or maybe even 2 weeks at this point. Tomorrow morning, of course, the WASD report, the June monthly report, is due at 11 a.m. Central Time. We'll post those to our website at willag.org at that time, or you can find them on my Twitter account at Commodity Week. What are the expectations, Kurt, for that report to show?
Well, first of all, you got to tune in to your Todd's Twitter here. Todd, you're one of the quickest ones getting the estimates out, and you do a great job, so keep that up. In fact, I do a lot of forwarding on that because I'm busy with the phone.
Thank you.
But production-wise, yield expected to on new crop to be down to maybe 172, 173 bushels. So they're going to address yield by a few bushels. As far as acreage goes, that's kind of a floating target. Ideas maybe they could lower that somewhat. So when you kind of look at the ending stocks for corn is probably going to be a lot lower than the 2.4, probably about 1.9 on new crop corn. Bean ending stocks are going to be relatively high, still about 983 million bushels. There's some wide ranges, and the market reaction is going to probably come in according to which part of the range that they show. There's just a lot of moving parts there. And when the computers or black boxes read these numbers, they could see acreage here or yield there or carry out there, and that could maybe create a whipsaw effect here if they don't have their filters turned on during that report time window.
So what are your expectations personally for this report? Will it show very much in the way of acreage or yield change, or do you think USDA will simply stay the course until we get to the acreage report at the end of the month?
I believe they're going to probably stay the course. I think they can lower some of the acreage on corn and lower some of the yield on corn slightly. But past experience, I would think they'd want to be conservative and try to get it right. Because no more they come in and drop it, they'll find out, well, guys planted 24/7 and drove through the wet holes. And, you know, I think it's a gradual type of ratchet down event here over several reports.
Anything else before I let you go for the day?
Meat market quite a bit higher. I think there's confidence with this Mexican agreement. For those who took the advice here last winter and bought those pork loins dirt cheap, you're on board now because the pork loins are starting to escalate in price, so enjoy your cookout this summer.
Nice job. Hey, thanks so much, Kurt.
Take care, guys.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, let's start with the immigration agreement that was concluded last Friday by the United States and Mexico. The State Department put that agreement up on its website, and it did not reference trade or agricultural buys from the United States by Mexico, though President Donald J. Trump had suggested that in a couple of tweets, one prior to the agreement and then again one over the weekend. However, the Mexican ambassador to the United States was on Face the Nation yesterday, and Margaret Brennan, the host there, asked her about this question. She did not give a complete answer.
Very quickly, though, was there any kind of agreement by your government to buy agricultural products? It is our understanding that without tariffs and with USMCA ratification, there will be an increased rates both in agricultural products and manufactured products.
But even nothing now, that was actually agreed to as part of this negotiation, because the president's been tweeting saying that Mexico agreed to buy all sorts of agricultural products.
What I would say is that even now, we are the second buyer of the U.S.
Right.
in grains and meat and this. We have an integrated economy in the agricultural sector.
Of course.
We export fruit and vegetables to the U.S., also contributing to a healthier diet in the U.S., and we buy basically grains and meat. So the trends are already there. So what we are expecting without the tariffs is an increase. You have to remember that until last year, we were the third trade partner.
Mm-hmm.
We are now the first. So we are your most important market, and you are our most important market. Is trade on agricultural products going to grow? Yes, it is going to grow. And it is going to grow without tariffs and with USMCA ratification.
But there was no transaction that was signed off on as part of this deal, is what I understand you're saying. You're just talking about trade.
I'm talking about trade, and I am absolutely certain that the trade in agricultural goods could increase dramatically in the next few months.
The Mexican government later clarified that it could neither confirm nor deny the president's claim. Speaking to Mr. Trump, he was again tweeting about Mexico this morning and saying that there was a second part of the deal that needed to be approved by the Mexican legislature, and that if it does not, the tariffs would be imposed. He said, quote, "We do not anticipate a problem with that vote, but if for any reason the approval is not forthcoming, tariffs will be reinstated." He also talked about tariffs during a CNBC Squawk Box interview this morning as it relates to China.
And the China deal is going to work out. You know why? Because of tariffs. Because right now China is getting absolutely decimated by companies that are leaving China, going to other countries, including our own, because they don't want to pay the tariffs. And China will, in my opinion, based on a lot of facts and a lot of knowledge, China's going to make a deal because they're going to have to make a deal.
That is President Donald Trump. He called into CNBC's Squawk Box earlier today. In that same interview, he was asked about the G20 meeting scheduled for the end of this month. There is not yet confirmation that President Xi Jinping from China will be in attendance. The Squawk Box reporters asked Mr. Trump if Xi Jinping fails to attend, whether or not the United States would immediately impose the extra $300 billion in tariffs on that nation.
Yes, it would. And I think he will go. And I think we're scheduled to have a meeting. I think he'll go. And I have a great relationship with him. He's actually an incredible guy. He's a great man. He's very, very strong and very smart. But he's for China. And I'm for the United States. It's a very simple stat. He's for China, I'm for the U.S. So we're going to have our differences, but I think the differences can be worked out very easily. I would be surprised if he didn't go. I think he's going. I haven't heard that he's not. We're expected to meet, and if we do, that's fine, and if we don't, that's fine. Look, from our standpoint, the best deal we can have is 25% on $600 billion, okay? And then those companies are going to move into other locations. And they're going to send and there won't be a tariff.
Hey, let's stay with the U.S. government, but move on to something a little lighter. Tomorrow's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, which is due out at 11 a.m. Central Time. Gary Crawford from USDA talked with Seth Meyer, the chair of the World Agricultural Outlook Board. It puts those numbers together. He asked him about one of the questions that Mr. Meyer keeps getting from, well, the farm community and every place else.
On Tuesday, the USDA's Outlook Board will put out its monthly supply and demand forecasts. And over the last week or so, Board Chairman Seth Meyer has gotten calls like this.
Mr. Meyer, we got the delayed planting, all this weather and everything. We just want to know if your board is going to reduce the forecast for the planted area of some of these crops and maybe the yields.
Of course, the reply.
Well, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do.
It would be illegal, for one thing. Some analysts and traders say it's too early anyway. USDA's not going to make any changes.
And then I hear some people say they absolutely will show area and yield change. They absolutely will.
He said it could go either way. Some of it may depend on very last-minute information coming in before the analysts are locked up at 5 a.m. incommunicado. Information like Monday afternoon's USDA report on planting progress, or maybe details on the trade aid package might be out by then.
So we'll take that information into the very last moment, and we will or we won't adjust area and yield for corn and soybeans.
We'll know for sure when the report comes out in just a short time, Tuesday, noon Eastern Time. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
Naturally, you can watch for those numbers on our website tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Central. Of course, it's noon in the Eastern Time Zone. They'll update right there at willag.org. On this Monday, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here from Risk Pulse in Chicago. Mark, thanks for being with us. It's just a beautiful day here in our part of the world in Champaign County, Illinois. What can you tell me about the rest of the week for the Midwest?
Well, Todd, as we look out ahead here through the remainder of today, let alone the balance of the week, overall from now through Friday, fairly limited rainfall across areas of the Midwest. Now, there will be some scattered showers and thunderstorms, primarily focused on Wednesday across areas of the central belt, including in that here Illinois, also Missouri, Iowa, up into Wisconsin. However, the totals will be, you know, at least relatively light compared to what we've seen in recent weeks, with totals generally on the order to a quarter to three quarters of an inch. As we get into the weekend and on into next week, that begins to pick up again, and still not expecting any kind of return of what we saw in May, but it will allow for some additional shower activity, and with that, some, you know, pockets of moderate to heavy rainfall. But overall, for this week, it's a pretty normal rainfall week, you know, for this time of year across much of the Corn Belt.
And next week?
Next week's looking pretty similar here from a rainfall standpoint. So kind of light to moderate coverage, kind of general or light to moderate totals with general coverage. Again, not getting into the extremely wet conditions of what we saw in May. Probably the most noteworthy item outside of precipitation is on the temperature side. That's where actually conditions will be a bit more anomalous, and that'll be to the cooler side. Cooler than normal temperatures are beginning to work their way into the Midwest and look to stay that way basically through all of this week and on into the early part of next week. Not any kind of, you know, concern at this time, but that will at least, you know, limit any kind of growing degree day accumulations as we, you know, go through the middle part of June with an overall late crop.
Let's hopscotch the Northern Hemisphere very quickly. We'll stay here in North America. Check in on the Canadian prairies.
Yeah, they've had a very dry spring, which has allowed for very fast and favorable field work. However, more rain is needed. They are getting some rain activity, some improvement, but more will be needed. And there's some indications as you go later into July that a hotter and drier bias will return to the region. So that's an area to watch. And then another area to watch is actually over in Ukraine and Russia, the Black Sea region, where a ridge of high pressure is beginning to develop and looks to have some staying power there. So their soil moisture conditions are very good right now. However, they are going to be declining through the end of the month. So that's another area to keep an eye on.
That would be for wheat. Let's check in on the Indian monsoon season as well.
Yeah, starting out there, rainy season, which happens during the month of June, they're starting on an erratic note. We're seeing a delay by about 2 to 3 weeks of the advancement of the monsoon across central and northern India. And at this time, the next opportunity for more significant monsoon rains is right at the end of the month and into the early part of July. So that's going to be the focus here, and rains will need to pick up across the main oilseed areas and grain areas of central and northern India, or else this is going to become a bigger issue as they're going to be going through June and early July with significant deficiencies in the start of the monsoon rainy season.
The rains remind me that I need to come back to one area here in the United States because they are harvesting wheat, hard red winter wheat growing regions, and rain is not the best of things for them. How are those areas looking at this time?
It's looking better across those areas. Granted, it's not totally dry, but some of the frequent heavier rainfall they've seen of late, including this past weekend, looks like that is now beginning to come to an end here, especially for the far western areas of like Kansas, Oklahoma, and the Oklahoma and Texas panhandle. Still some of the acreage in central and eastern Kansas and Oklahoma will see some higher rainfall totals, but in general, it's a less active pattern compared to recent weeks in the Southern Plains.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That is Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse. Let's turn our attention now to what's been happening in the cash grain market. We're joined by Greg Johnson. He is the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Hey, Greg, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Todd.
So what more are we going to know tomorrow than we do today?
That's a good question. We get the planting progress report and our first crop condition report this afternoon, but I'm not sure how to interpret the planting progress number because if a farmer took prevented plant, does he automatically go from 60% planted to 100% planted in 1 week, even though he didn't plant corn? I think that's going to be kind of an issue. Do you have some insights on that, how the government reports a farmer that takes prevented plant on all his acres and now is completely done?
Yeah, I do. So a couple of things. Scott Irwin has tweeted about this. I've tweeted about it some. My knowledge came from Daryl Good, but I've seen this a couple of times and have confirmed, of course, with USDA that the way this is. There are 3,600 cooperators, right, that take this into account. It's not really a survey of farmers at all. So if you just say there's, you know, like one person in every county that scouts around and takes a look, usually it's somebody from Extension or FSA office, maybe a farm credit office, and they go to the coffee shop on Sunday and they talk to farmers and their clients, and the clients are telling them what they're doing and whether they're taking prevent plant, if they're done or not. And they make an assessment really of how far along it is, how far along the county is at that point. So you might, at the beginning of the year, you say, well, I know what the USDA said in total number of acres, right? But as the year passes, that number of acres might shrink or grow. For instance, soybean acres might be growing at the moment. And so if this week we have 5% switched acres from corn to soybeans, we might, and we planted 5% of the crop, it might show up as the same. And consequently, on the corn acres, as long as you switched out 5% and maybe 15% is going to prevent plant, that's going to show up as 100% done, right? So it's on how many acres do I intend yet to plant as of Sunday.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So if that's the case, then the planting progress for a state like Illinois that was only 45% planted should show maybe even more than what got planted, because you add in the acres that switched over to PP, and that will get us closer to the 100%, because sooner or later we have to get to 100% of something.
That's absolutely right. We've got only 20 seconds. What are your bids?
Okay, we've got cash corn finished unchanged today at 404, new corn 419. Old beans were up 2 at 814, new beans 826, and wheat was 496.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right, thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Helps us wrap up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. Tomorrow morning, the United States Department of Agriculture at 11 o'clock Central Time will update the monthly WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. Those will be on our website at willag.org right at that time. And if you happen to use Twitter, you can follow me at Commodity Week there. That's my handle. We'll update those numbers as soon as they're released by the United States Department of Agriculture.